Get ready to fix your finances on Which Way Is Life, episode number 25. My guest today, America's Answer Money Man, Jordan Goodman. Learn how to get out of credit card debt after the holidays, how to plan for next year, and the biggest mistake people make with their money. An insightful, informing interview. Hang on for it. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. I said free, didn't I? Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Which Way Is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. You'll get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt that's real. Real Salt brand sea salt.
Which Way Is Life? Your roadmap to a healthier, inspired life. Bill talks with trendsetting doctors, fitness gurus, life coaches, celebrities, athletes, and other interesting experts to help you find the life you want to live. Get inspired, get healthy, reconnect with life. Here's Bill Klaproth.
So happy to have Jordan Goodman on with us today. Jordan is America's Money Answer Man. He is a nationally recognized expert on personal finance. He appears frequently on The View, Fox News Business, CNN, CNBC, and CBS Evening News. Jordan also worked for Money Magazine for 18 years, where he reported and wrote on virtually every aspect of personal finance. And on top of that, Jordan is the author, co-author of 13 best-selling books on personal finance. Jordan, so happy to have you on today. Can you first let us in on your personal life? Who are you when you're not saving the world?
Well, I spend a lot of time saving the world, but I'm a father. I went to London School of Economics, Columbia School of Journalism, Amherst College. And I'm just very interested in all kinds of things. But my passion has always been helping people with their financial decisions. So that's why people call me the Money Answers Man. And I got all kinds of ways to help people at MoneyAnswers.com.
Well, that's great, because that's what we're all about, helping people. Well, Jordan, I like to start the show with what I call the one thing. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
I would say pay more attention to your personal finances. I always say the two greatest forces in personal finances, as crazy as it may be, are inertia and apathy. People don't do, and they don't care. Even though it makes no sense whatsoever, Bill, but this has been my experience over many, many years. I can hand people diamonds and gold and gems of advice and resources that actually can make a huge difference in their life, and we're going to talk about some of those today. And they get it, and they say, well, that's nice, and they don't act on it. It's like, okay, so you end up paying tens of thousands of dollars a year more in interest than you need to on a mortgage, or get better credit cards, or investing, all the different areas that I know about, and I give people that's totally appropriate for their situation, and yet they don't act on it. So pay attention to these things, learn about this, get your mind involved in it, and the payoff can be enormous.
They don't do, and they don't care. So I mean, why is there? That's crazy. So why is there a general apathy towards that, do you think?
Well, part of it's education. I think people, it's getting a little bit better in the schools, but a lot of people go K through 12 and through college and graduate school and really never get any systemic personal finance education. So they get out in their so-called real world, and their employer hands them this 401k packet. And they say, well, you've only got 55 choices. You figure out what to do. It's like, I'm totally unequipped to make this kind of choice. Or they get a credit card offer, and they say, well, that sounds good, and it's probably the worst possible deal out there. So they just kind of float through life making wrong decisions all the time. And people who win are the marketers who offer them deals that are the best for the marketers, not for the consumer. And people are getting ripped off and don't even know they're getting ripped off in many cases.
Well, you're so right. We are never taught. And it's very important that we have people like you, our Money Answer Man, to teach us these things, because there is no manual. So unless you really dig in and research and try to learn on your own, you don't know. So I guess that's part of the reason. So Happy New Year, by the way, Jordan. The holidays are over and people bought and they spent, and now they're looking at their credit card bills going, oh, how do I pay this off? So help us out. How do we handle holiday debt after Christmas?
Well, first of all, you're right. It was a record season. We had consumer confidence at an all-time high. The stock market had soared. People's home values were up. Unemployment was down. I mean, the economy was doing pretty well, for not for everybody, but for most people. And that leads to a huge amount of spending. Now, most of the growth in spending this season was online. Online spending, depending on which retailer, was up 20 or 30% over a year ago. Spending at traditional brick-and-mortar stores was similar to what it was a year ago. It's a lot easier to get into trouble online, Bill, because all you have to do is a few clicks. You know, you fill in your little shopping cart online, and off you go. You don't have to hand money. You don't have to hand a credit card to anybody. So it makes it even easier to get into debt. And you can't use cash online. There's not a little slot you can put cash into in your computer. So you've got to use credit or debit cards one way or the other. And now that we're in January, we're going to see enormous bills coming in for all the spending that happened in December. And people are going to be shocked. There was a poll done at the beginning of December, and 40% of the people said they're going to go spend on Christmas presents, knowing in advance they do not have the money to pay for them. And they went out and did it anyway. So let's give them some specific things they can do now that the bills are coming in.
Fantastic.
First thing is get better credit cards. You don't have to be paying these ridiculously high interest rates on all those cards you charged up so dramatically in December. There's a free website, guidetocreditcard.com, where all the best deals are out there. And you go there, and you can transfer your balance from wherever it is now to a much lower interest card, in many cases a 0% card for 6 months or a year. And you can get rewards that you want. It might be frequent flyer miles. It could be rebates. You can get rebates as much as 6% these days. There's just tons of different cards, but get one or two that work best for your specific situation. Concentrate your spending on those cards, and then you'll get the best possible deals. You might be wanting to buy a GM car, you know, get a GM card. You might want to go to Disney World, get a Disney card. You want to buy books at Amazon, get an Amazon card. But whatever it is, concentrate your spending where you're going to get the most rewards and off of the lowest interest rates as well. I mean, one of the things, if you're going to be paying a lot of interest, go for the cards with the lowest interest rates. There's actually a state in this country, Bill, which is the capital of low-interest rate credit cards. Do you know which state that is?
I don't, but I think you're going to tell us.
It's Arkansas. Arkansas has usury ceilings left over from the 1930s, where banks there cannot charge more than 5 percentage points over the prime rate. The prime rate now is 3.75%, so basically they can't charge more than 8.75%. But a lot of them are like in the 6 and 7% range. So if you have good credit, you can open an account. You can be from anywhere. You don't have to be from Arkansas. Arkansas Federal, Simmons, Pulaski, there's a whole bunch of banks in Arkansas. And you roll your balance from a high-interest one to a lower-interest one, save some money that way, and that can help you get under control a little bit. This is what I call credit card surfing. I think it's actually the new national sport. It's not baseball. It's surfing, because everybody's surfing their balances from one high-interest rate to a lower-interest rate. So that's certainly one thing you can do to get under control a little bit.
So guidetocreditcard.com, you can look there and also check into credit cards coming out of Arkansas, like Arkansas Federal. And we will put links on the show notes page at radiomd.com so you can easily find these things.
Good.
So that's good tip. Good tip number one, the credit card surfing. What else do we need to know?
So number two would be to use a nonprofit credit counseling organization, because they can get you rates you can't possibly get on your own, typically like 6 or 7%, something like that. You would combine all your credit cards into one payment at that lower rate. You're going to close the cards because you don't want to get into more trouble. You make one payment to them, and then over whatever, 2-3 years, however long it takes, you're going to be out of credit card debt, and it's considered a neutral on your credit score to use a credit counseling organization like this. My favorite one on a national basis is called Cambridge Credit Counseling. Their website, cambridgecredit.org. Their phone number, 800-897-2200. They're currently dealing with about 1 million Americans in credit counseling. There's a total of about 7 million Americans in credit counseling in the country right now. And they've already got deals with Bank of America and Chase and Citibank and Wells Fargo and all these banks to get you rates you can't possibly get on your own.
So, if you feel you can't dig out on your own, like, okay, I'm going to make double payments and I can do this on my own, a good place to turn to is the nonprofit credit counseling like Cambridge Credit Counseling.
Correct, because you're going to get lower interest rates. I mean, if you make extra payments and you're still paying 18%, it's not going to make that much of a difference because you're making very little principal progress.
Right.
Here, if you're paying 6% and you're making the same payment, you're making a lot of principal progress. The main thing is a lot of people just pay the minimum on their credit cards, a little bit more than the minimum, and it literally can take them 30 years to pay it off, never mind a few months. So that's the dilemma, and this is the way it helps you. And it's considered neutral on your credit score, so it's not really going to hurt you in the long run. Getting out of debt is what's going to help your credit score.
Right, and on the credit card statements now, they show you if you pay minimum balance for the amount you have, it's going to take you this many years. If you pay an extra,
correct,
you know, 15%, an extra 50%, here's how many years it's going to take you to pay this off. So that is a nice guide when trying to pay those credit cards down. Any other tips for credit card debt or credit card hell?
Sure. So we talked about nonprofit credit counseling. If you want to take the next step, it's a credit card debt settlement. Now, with debt settlement, that means you are settling the credit card debt for maybe 50 cents on the dollar, depending on how the negotiation works out. But you are not paying back the full principal, but it's a way of reducing your debt much more dramatically. Now, there's some good players and some bad players in that particular field. The good player that I like is called Just Us Debt, J-U-S-T-U-S, debt at justusdebt.com. They've got a phone number as well, 877-244-0612. And they've been doing this for many, many years. The rules have changed somewhat recently that said that people who are in the debt settlement business cannot charge an upfront fee for that service. They can only charge a fee after they've received a debt settlement for you. Because there were a lot of people in this field that were abusing the situation, charging ridiculous upfront fees, promising the moon, and not delivering. So that's not possible. But these are people who've been doing it a long time. So the good part is you're going to reduce your debt a lot. The bad part is it is going to hurt your credit because you are not paying back full principal as you are with credit counseling. But you know, for some circumstance, that may be the best thing to do. Just realize your credit's going to go down, but at least you owe an awful lot less in debt. So justuscredit.com can help you, you know, settle your credit card debt.
Okay, so a brief recap here. Get better credit cards. Go to a nonprofit credit counseling unit. And then, or in a more severe case, debt settlement. So are those the top three,
correct,
then?
And then the fourth one's bankruptcy, you know, which is there's about 2 million bankruptcies a year. So, I mean, if you, you know, there are two kinds of bankruptcies. There's Chapter 13, which is a rescheduling of your debt, where you stretch it out over a longer period of time. And there's Chapter 7, which is a liquidation of your debt. But that's really if you're very poor and really in really, 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 really bad shape to do a Chapter 7. Most people get Chapter 13. A website for that would be mybankruptcyneeds.com or 800-752-6935. They've got a series of bankruptcy lawyers, and you have to do it in your local area all over the country. So, I mean, that's the last resort. We don't want to go there, but for some people, they do it. Thousands of people do that all the time. So that's kind of from the top to the bottom, your basic choices on getting rid of the credit cards.
Jordan, you are bringing the value. Thank you so much, and thanks for giving us the websites and the phone numbers.
Sure.
Again, we will post those up on the show notes page at RadioMD.com. So if you did overspend this year, what's the best way to plan for holiday spending next year? Jordan, do we start now and start putting a plan in place now so we don't do this again next holiday season?
Well, it's a nice idea. I'm not sure it's practical, but it's a nice idea. In the old days, they used to have something called Christmas clubs, where you'd actually put money aside during the year, and then come early December, you'd actually have this money saved up to pay for Christmas presents. What an unusual idea to actually save up for something before you buy it. I don't think anybody's ever heard of that. But that's the way they used to do it. I mean, that would be nice, to actually have the money saved up. And the way to do that is to set automatically a certain amount aside, $100, $200, whatever it is, into a separate account, and then you'll have the money when the time comes. Because otherwise, it's not going to happen. It's just back to our inertia example in the beginning. Just life goes on, and if you don't put it aside automatically, you'll find a way to spend the money. So that would be ideal, to put the money aside up front. But it's got to be on a systematic basis. Put it into a savings account or something where it's going to be separate from all the rest of your accounts, because otherwise, you'll just spend right through it.
So is that the best way to do it? The way you sound is like, yeah, that sounds great, but most people don't do that. So what is the best way to? So what is the best way then to prepare for next year?
Well, I would say put money in something where you can't even get your hands on it. How about that? Because if it's,
okay,
if you give Americans a way to get their hands on it, they'll strip it clean. You know, I mean, this has been true as far as what people borrow. They borrow against their 401ks. They borrow against their life insurance policies, against their home equity. If it's not nailed down, people will borrow it clean in America. That's the way it works. So there's something, for example, called commercial mortgage bridge loans, which is a way of getting a 6% yield, but you can't get your hands on it for a year. It's designed to have your money put aside for a year. Okay. There's a website for that, too, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. There's no commissions to get in or out of it. You put the money in. They're lending the money to high-quality commercial real estate projects. You're getting a monthly check at an annual rate of 6%, and now your money's earning something, but a year from now it'll come due, and then you can use it for Christmas presents. So that would be ideal. So get your money out of your hands so you can't borrow against it, you can't sell it, and then you'll have the money a year from now.
Well, that seems like the best solution is you put the money away and then say, okay, I know I'm going to spend $2,000 next Christmas, so I'm going to save enough now each month, and boom, I'm going to have it. And then I don't have to worry about overspending on my credit cards when I might have had to buy something else beforehand, or this blew up, or that broke, and my credit card is near maxed out, and here comes Christmas.
Exactly. Right? That's what happens all the time. Every time something like that happens, yeah. There's something that I call a recurring, non-recurring expense. Every month, something that'll never happen again happens, and you don't know what it's going to be.
Right.
And the next month, something else happens that'll never happen again. So the expense is non-recurring, but that there's going to be a non-recurring expense is recurring. So you have to watch out for the recurring, non-recurring expenses, as I call them.
Let me write that down. The recurring, non-recurring expense. Okay, I think I got it. Is there a good way to budget for somebody listening right now for the new year, or should we do a budget every year? I know you're going to say yes, but is there can you quickly share?
You can do it online.
All right, help us out. How do we create a budget every year?
So some of the free websites online, for example, mint.com, M-I-N-T.com, has an online budgeting tool, and it's linked to your cell phone. So every time you buy something or put it on the credit card or make a deposit, it's kind of tracking what's going on in there. And the way to do a budget is in each of the major categories of your spending, you say, here's how much you want to spend, you know, roughly. And then as you're going along, you see how you're going against your target. So food and housing and entertainment and medical, all the different categories, you kind of see how you're doing. And then when you go over a particular category, it's going to flash red at you. Do you realize you've gone over that particular amount? And it doesn't mean you can't go over it, but at least you're aware of it. And you may have to adjust. If you've got to spend more on medical, you had a medical issue, maybe you're going to spend less on entertainment, whatever it may be. But being in control is a lot better than just kind of going on spending blindly, which is what most people do. And what they end up doing is they go into debt because they're spending more than their income. And they say, well, it's not adding up, so I really need this thing, and I've got to go into debt to do it. And that's where people get into trouble. There's currently about $1 trillion in credit card debt outstanding right now. And if 40 to 50% of them are paying interest on it at an average of about 14%. It makes the banks very wealthy, but it's not good for your pocket.
So help us out with this. I've heard this put different ways, or some people have different philosophies, like everything you buy every month, you should pay it off to zero every month. And then I've heard, no, you should leave some money on there because if you ever do want to take a loan out, people want to see that you're able to keep a low balance on it. So what's the right answer? Pay it off every month if you can, or leave some on there every month?
The first of those two, pay it off every month. Now, your credit score is not improved if you're running balances. What's important with your credit score is that you pay it on time. And if you pay it in full on time, that's great. That's not going to hurt your credit score at all. So this is an old wives' tale, I guess, that you keep a balance and that's going to make your credit score better. That is not true. What they're looking for, 35% of your credit score is your payment history. And if you have a good payment history, they're going to say, yes, he's responsible. And they'll just increase your credit limits and make it real easy for you. You want to also be monitoring your credit score all the time and see what's going on and make sure there's no errors on there, because there's lots of errors all the time, and you only find out when you apply for credit. Right? And whenever you get confused with somebody else's credit, theirs is always worse than yours. You're not confused with Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. It's always some deadbeat somewhere who never pays us. Those are the people you get confused with. So you find out, I mean, I do it on an ongoing basis. I have LifeLock, for example. If you go to LifeLock.com, mention my name, Jordan Goodman, I think you get 10% off or something. Just stay on top of what's going on with your credit. Not only for the credit score, but also identity theft, which is a huge problem. People, and it's not as though you're doing something wrong. They'll attack the central databases. I mean, in the last few years, they attacked the central databases at Target and Home Depot and Neiman Marcus and all kinds of places. You didn't do anything wrong, but they got your credit card numbers by hacking into the central database, and then you're very vulnerable to being hacked. It happens all the time.
So what's the best place to get your credit score? I see several of them advertise. Is there one place that you think is the best to get your credit
score?
Yeah,
creditkarma.com is a place to get it for free. The place that I use is at guardmycredit.com. You can see it, but you can also make sure at any time that it's accurate, because you really want to make sure it's accurate all the time. What people do is they find out there's an inaccuracy when they're in the middle of applying for credit. You're in the car dealer and applying for a car loan, and the salesman comes back and says, do you realize you haven't paid your student loans in 4 years and you skipped out on your mortgage payment? No, that's not the place to get your credit cleaned up, okay? You want to go in there knowing it's as clean and accurate as possible. And in fact, if there are errors, there's a whole world out there of people who, in fact, will help you clean up your credit report and get errors off of there, because it's really hard. It takes a lot of time for you to do that on your own. There's a website, for example, called creditanswersnow.com, which will take off derogatory marks and basically clean up your credit in various ways. You have the right under what's called the FACTA law, the Fair and Accurate Credit Transactions Act, which says if you can challenge an error on your credit report, the creditor has 30 days to get back to the bureau to say why it's accurate. And if they don't, it comes off, even in fact it is accurate. So in many cases, the creditors do not get back to the bureaus, and it comes off. I mean, if you're Macy's or Bloomingdale's, your job is to sell merchandise, not to clean up people's credit reports. So in many cases, they do not respond to challenges, and therefore it comes off your credit report. But it's a whole rigmarole to play that game and get your score up, and there's a place, creditanswersnow.com, that can help you actually do it.
So thank you for sharing all that great advice. So coming up, we get the high five from Jordan Goodman. And if I could ask a quick favor, after the interview with Jordan, if you could jump on over to iTunes and rate and review the show. By doing that, we gain a wider audience, and it gives us a chance to help more people, which this show is all about. So if you could quick just give us a rating and review on iTunes, I would greatly appreciate it. The high five with Jordan is next. Which Way is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way is Life for your free audio book. Which Way is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. Now, you probably already use sea salt on your food because you know of its health benefits, but is your salt real? Take a look at the ingredients panel. You might be surprised by what's inside. A lot of salts contain fillers, anti-caking chemicals, even dextrose, which is a type of sugar. So you want a salt like Real Salt that hasn't been stripped of its minerals or had chemicals added. Real Salt. You get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt. That's real. Real Salt brand sea salt. Find it at your local health food store or go to realsalt.com. Time for the high five with my guest, Jordan Goodman today. Jordan, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Question number one. So what is then the biggest mistake people make with their money?
Well, not paying attention to it and not saving on a systematic basis is, I think, the biggest mistake. People expect what I call white knight syndrome. My finances are a mess, but this one lottery ticket is going to change everything. Not a good strategy.
Okay. Question number two. Can you share with us the best piece of advice you were ever given from a mentor or somebody helping you along the way?
The key to success is one word, leverage. And by leverage, I don't mean debt. I mean leveraging the efforts of others. You only have 24 hours in a day, and you do have to sleep somewhat, okay? So you can't do it all. And the secret to financial success is combining your talents and time and knowledge with those of others to create something bigger than you can do on your own. and then you get the benefit of the whole pie. I mean, Bill Gates was a great programmer, but he couldn't create Microsoft on his own. He had to have employees. Now, as a stockholder, a large stockholder, he benefited as the entire enterprise grew to, like in his case, $50 billion, something like that. But even on a smaller basis, leverage other people's time, expertise, and knowledge, combining with yours, and that's the way you can really become wealthy.
Question number three. If you had a book to share with our audience, what would you recommend?
I like the recent Tony Robbins book. It's just called The Money Masters. He interviews the top people in finance and investing all over the world who have long-term track records and gives you all the secrets that they have about how to make money. So that would be one of my favorites that came out pretty recently.
Okay, and again, we will have a link to that and the show notes page at RadioMD.com. Question number four, do you have a money app or a piece of technology you can share with us to help us manage our money or be better with our money?
Well, I would say Mint.com would be a good one as far as tracking your amounts on a regular basis. Certainly Quicken as a way of doing your taxes is good. I mean, a lot of the software is available online today. You could even go to Quicken, Yahoo Finance. There's all these apps that are just very free and widely available today. So there's almost anything you need, retirement planning, tax planning, budgeting. It's all available out there very, very cheap, if not free today.
Okay. And question number five, finish this sentence. Throughout my life, I'm asking this in general, not necessarily about money, but finish this sentence. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is?
Have integrity and deal with good people. I've done it both ways. I've always had integrity, but I've not always dealt with good people. The character shows through. And you deal with people who are going to be responsible, going to keep their part of the bargain, who are fun to deal with, and all kinds of good things happen. You deal with people with bad integrity, who are trying to, you know, slice things to their advantage, and bad things happen. So being a good judge of character makes a huge difference in how your life turns out. And in fact, your life, your financial life, is typically an average of the top five people that you deal with. So if you're dealing with millionaires and billionaires, good things tend to happen. You kind of be like them. If you're dealing with deadbeats and people who are irresponsible, your life's going to look like that. So hang around people who are successful, and it'll help you a lot.
And as you said, people with integrity, hang around with those type of people and with good character. You're never going to go wrong there. That's for sure. Well, Jordan, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking with you. How can we connect with you and learn more about you? Give us your social media and websites and all that stuff.
So my website is moneyanswers.com. I've got loads of resources and websites and links. I've got a whole social media presence on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. It all goes through moneyanswers.com. I also do a weekly radio show myself, which is called The Money Answers Show, which is on the Voice America Business Network, and there's a link to that through moneyanswers.com. I've been doing that for about 10 years, interviewing the top people in personal finance. So there's a lot of really good content on The Money Answers Show that people can get for free as well. So I'd love to hear from your listeners. Have them email me, and I get back to people and really love to help them out.
Well, Jordan, you've been just chock full of information, and I really appreciate all the value and advice that you've given today. Thank you again. I want to leave you with one of my favorite quotes here. Enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Jordan, thank you again.
Thanks so much, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at RadioMD.com. And again, if I can ask a favor, please take 30 seconds and rate the podcast on iTunes. The reason being is we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And when you rate it, it helps the show gain more visibility. And please leave a review as well. If you could do that for me, I would appreciate it. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. We're also on Facebook at Which Way Is Life. Thanks for listening, and stay well.